Hello. Each time a footnote appears, you'll hear this sound. After the webcast, you can check out the supporting material using the footnote links you will find below the screen.
Right, check this out. Jew. Jews. The Jews. Something happened inside of you, right? In your gut. You reacted. Everybody does, because the idea, even just the word, is something that no one's indifferent to. But why? After 4,000 years of recorded history, we should have figured out what this strange universal hatred of the Jews is, but we haven't. And actually, we haven't even really tried. The thing is, we're going to have to, because the way that the world is now, everything affects everyone, and there is no place to hide, so this little problem isn't so little anymore. That innate, deadly hostility is exploding around the world right now. And if we don't figure it out, it's going to trigger a violent self-defense reaction that's going to end up destabilizing the planet and harming everyone. So, let's stop pretending and fantasizing. Let's look at facts, because only facts can help. Let's stop and let's figure it out. Take the emotion out of it so that we can look at it, okay? Can you forget about religion or cultural attachments or social preferences, all that stuff, for just a few minutes, and let's look scientifically, you know, empirically, because there are facts. And really, the details of any phenomenon that's been going on as long as this one has are considered by science to be facts. So let's take them into account. What exactly is the Jewish problem? Is it hatred of the Jews? Is it genocide? Their right to self-defense? No, it's not. The problem is that nobody, and I mean nobody, including most Jews, know what Jews are and what their role is in the world, or even if they really have a role in the world. Well, how could the longest surviving identifiable grouping of people on Earth not know who they are? It's clear to us, they're a race. Because if their mother is Jewish, then they are. Yeah, but no, there were times in history when a person was a Jew only if their father was. And all you got to do is look at a bunch of Jews, and it's clear that they're a hodgepodge of races. But that's because they're a religion, right? Wrong. The majority of people who identify as Jews are secular, and the ones that we're probably most aware of are strongly anti-religious. Okay, so then maybe they are a nation state, Israel, a legal entity like Canada or the U.S. Yeah, but more Jews live outside of Israel than in Israel. So what are those Jews? You see the problem? Every definition is a contradiction. They're pacifists and they're warmongers. They're inferior and they dominate the economy. They want to take over the world. Capitalists. And no, they're communists. They only keep to themselves, and they threaten racial purity through intermarriage. They killed Christ, and they're responsible for the invention of Christianity. They have a chosen people complex, and they've got an inferiority complex. So basically, what we have is an undefined, identity-conflicted human grouping that makes up less than 0.2% of the world's population, who somehow always have a disproportionate amount of worldwide attention and influence. Enough influence to impact the entire human network and all of its systems, for better or for worse, and we don't really know who they are. That's what makes us so suspicious, right? Where does the influence come from? Now, talking about that makes us squeamish, but look, if we're going to figure it out, we've got to stop saying that it's not true, because it is true. But how come? Why? And what is the influence for? But to solve this, we've got to see this thing in context, in the real dynamics of the human system. We need to get an idea of how our system works, because that kind of knowledge will tell us not just what the Jews are, but what we are as a whole. And what we want to nail down isn't just some singular definition, because nothing in nature is. What we're really looking for is an interaction, a kind of formula, a relationship. Okay, so let's start with a more accurate question. What are Jews, and why do we feel the way we do about them? Or, what are Jews to us? The problem is that the sciences that we use, biology, social and political sciences, they only look at pieces of the system and can only give us race, religion, and power politics to work with. And that's why those definitions of Jews cancel each other out. To find the relationship, we need a science that lets us look at the system we live in as if we weren't completely subject to the forces in it. We've got to poke our heads up out of it and look down on the whole thing, like those first pictures of the Earth taken from the moon, because it takes much more information than any partial observation can give us. So we need a holistic science that deals with organizing principles and how those principles steer the larger system. And that science is cybernetics and network science, which have been around since the middle of the 20th century, but they were mostly theoretical until we started getting some pretty groundbreaking insights recently from supercomputing and big data sets, including Google's records about voluntary human connections on the web. What we got was the first evidence-based perspective on the development of systems in nature. But these scientists couldn't make productive use out of all of this until they had a workable mathematical model that came from a complete data set. And they found that by accident in the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon game, which is based on the assumption that Kevin is the most connected actor in the network of Hollywood. It turns out that Sean Connery is, but that's not the point. The model and the game work because they use only the closed world of Hollywood actors. You play the game by finding the shortest route of connection between any actor that appeared in a Hollywood film and Kevin Bacon. You should try it because you'll see that the math always works out to a number of 6 steps or fewer. You know, silly as that is, it's really important. So let's look into that a little bit first before we look directly at what the Jews are. That 6 degree thing was a eureka moment because now they had a clean and complete data set of a small system. And they could see the mechanisms and forces that make that system survive or collapse. What they found was actually the structure of survival itself. Now, there are new findings, and the details keep getting refined, but the broad strokes are clear in that. Nature develops its parts from simple systems to complex ones by predictable patterns called scale-free networks. So any scale-free network that can communicate with all of its parts within 6 or fewer steps or degrees of separation is called a small world. And it can become massively efficient. It can survive almost any attack, and it can grow in quantity and quality complexity if it's made of nodes and hubs, which I'll explain in a moment, and only if the number of hubs and nodes fit into a special ratio. And this is the ratio. Now, using this formula, we can expose what's called the degree distribution of hub to node in any scale-free system. Now, I'm not going to get into the math, but what's important is that it lets us look right into something that used to be hidden. This changes the way we see, and what we see is truly miraculous. Scale-free small world networks are everywhere. In fact, everything is made this way. Superclusters, filaments, galaxies, solar systems, the molecular mapping of proteins in our genes, the building blocks of matter itself. Because nature builds things that way, and it even does it through us, showing up unconsciously in all human creations that involve systems and networks, like the electrical grid in the U.S., or the global airport structure, highway systems, the way that international business works. Even the structure of the internet and social media falls within the parameters of this formula. which is lots of nodes, very few hubs. That is the most efficient way to make and maintain any complex system in our reality. Okay, so here's what nodes and hubs are. Nodes are the elements of a system, like its resonance. Everything that happens in a system happens only for the well-being of the nodes, the individual and collective advancement of the network. Hubs are hyper-connected nodes, and they do the critical function of passing information and resources all through the system in the fastest, the most efficient way possible. And that's what makes the system survive, because it's able to respond holistically and instantaneously all through the network to any need or challenge. So a system can lose a lot of nodes and still survive as long as the minimum hub-to-node ratio holds. But as soon as the number of hubs drop below the ratio, you get system breakdown. And if enough of the relatively small number of hubs are destroyed or for some reason weaken in their function, the system fails and it collapses. So what does any of this have to do with what are the Jews to us? Well, if that's how nature does things, and it's in us and all around us, then why would it not apply to the architecture of the human family? Why wouldn't it apply to the relationships and attitudes between us that come from those same mechanisms, producing the same good or bad results for the same reasons? Gossip and news buzz between us that way. Diseases spread around the planet in days based on those properties. So obviously, yes, hubs and nodes do exist between human beings. And like everything else, we are a natural structure built a certain way by those immutable natural laws. We didn't make the system, and we can't unmake its structure without messing it up or destroying it or ourselves. Because it's not some objective thing out there separate from us. The network is what we are. If, for just a few minutes, we can suspend our regular mechanical emotional reactions and try to think of the names that we call ourselves as scientific terms, then maybe the fog and fear and that prejudice can clear, and we can apply all this to the human network and begin to understand that relationship that we're searching for. So, what are Jews and why do we feel the way we do about them? What are Jews to us? The Jews are the hubs. Because for as long as we've collected population stats, there's always been a 0.02 ratio of Jews to world population. Now, those stats are not a clean data set, but at least now we can see the importance of that proportion that's always been there. No other grouping comes even close to their degree distribution throughout the network. But that number alone in itself isn't proof. What's far more important and eye-opening is that besides fitting into that ratio, there is additional evidence that Jews may have consistently and exclusively performed the analogous function to the hubs, and that that performance appears to have spanned the entire life of our current human system. So, did they? And does it? Why is it that from the time we humans first became a complex system called civilization, the history of the Jews has uniquely been one of invasions, exiles, genocide, and forced mixture into the expanding empires of the time? Why, while other peoples stayed put when their borders were disrupted by these network changes, the Jews were never allowed to isolate in their land for long? Why was it that whenever the human system grew, they in particular were scattered? And why did they always carry with them something that didn't yet exist in those places, an educational system that resulted in educated, cohesive satellite communities connected by mutual support and centered around responsibility to others? and the very principle of the function that they serve is evident in their educational texts that point to and explain their role in the system. You remember those stories? The Egyptian exile. You see Joseph. He's a prime minister and he's a steward. He's a distributor of resources. There's Moses, who is the adopted prince and the liberator of humanity. In the Babylonian exile, you have Daniel, also prime minister. Mordecai, who turns out to be the protector of the king's life and the liberator. What does that point to? Not the king, not the principle of expansion and separation. It points to the principle of cohesion and connection, whose only job is taking care of the needs of the kingdom's parts, the Jew function. And clearly, looking at history, it wasn't a role that they chose. It was imposed on them by the formula or the force that evolves systems. And it appears to have worked like this. The Roman Empire swallows up the small networks, which are the nations around the Mediterranean. Jews are pushed out to the centers of the New World and into the East. When the empire recedes, they find themselves restricted just about everywhere by laws preventing integration, preventing owning property or working in almost any profession. So what's left? They are relegated to being tax and rent collectors for kingdoms and governments, and that evolves over time to money lending and financing national projects. See, it was the needs and the natural suspicion in those nations that forcefully positioned Jews as the builders of an international system of finance and trade. And that carried with it the spread of resources and ideas. And that's still the case. We still feel that Jews dominate the network that informs and connects us. Hollywood, social media, the arts, news, the electronic media, financial markets, science, patents. Add to this their unique perpetual survival, and the evidence points to Jews, whether by ideology, birth, conversion, or just people who have the exact inclination as the Jew, whether they know it or not, are actually the function of hubs in the human network. And here's the kicker. It's an integral holistic system. So every one of us has both qualities of hub and node. Let's call them the Jew function and the Gentile function, operating within us and around us. Do Jews know that this is what they are? Very, very few would, considering the disconnected state of the world right now, because it's clear that our hubs are barely able to maintain the existence of the system. It's pretty shaky. The Jew function is sleeping. So no, they're just as confused as everyone else as to what purpose they serve and why they have such influence and attract such irrational hatred. What are they supposed to be doing? Well, we've recently learned that networks are always evolving and complexifying. It appears that the human network also exists and is expanding in a natural system of higher quality that we are growing into, a more inclusive aspect of nature that manages the system below it the way that a brain manages a body. And in this mechanism, Jews are a kind of nation of hubs in the human network. And that nation, which is a relationship, is structured so that any major impulse of network development that's supposed to enter the system has to first pass through the hubs, through the Jew function. And for that to happen, though, Jews have to connect up in a way that their relationship to each other resembles the more coherent quality of the higher system where those impulses originate. They should be connecting up in an open, inclusive, mutually responsive, and altruistic way, a sort of quantum love your neighbor as yourself program. This should be a conduit made of human unity that minimizes the resistance to those development-enhancing impulses from entering the system and maximizes the spread and absorption of new ideas to every node. What it conducts to the system is a natural inborn grasp felt within the nodes of ideas and confidence about what next step to take for development and survival. It gives a sensation of wholeness, inspiration, and purpose, and that's what's missing now. What exactly are nature's messages that are coming from that higher system? Well, they're the same in all scale-free networks. The message is connect and make whole, because nature evolves its parts to handle more connection, making them more useful to the system and able to receive much more benefit from each of those enhancements. And apparently, the new data shows that connection aimed at greater states of unity may be the prime directive of the system. That's the way that hubs are supposed to work. But when they don't, or when they slow down because they're acting like nodes, then a built-in alarm goes off and every node feels that there's something wrong and starts demanding what's missing. The nodes unconsciously sense that development and well-being are being choked off and that the system's in danger. These responses are autonomic and mechanical. We don't know why we're doing it, just like we don't really manage our body's organs. We don't know why we feel that. The nodes, the Gentile function, is supposed to get triggered by the system to send alarm signals to ping the hubs, to get to work because we're suffering out here. The way this mechanism shows itself with humans is in the form of anger and demand aimed at the Jews. It's a hatred that outwardly seems completely irrational, but inwardly it feels completely justified. That's what anti-Semitism is. And that's the situation that we're in right now. There's chaos and there's planet-wide problems. The fear that we feel for our survival is happening because our ability to evolve isn't keeping up with the super-accelerating global interdependence that we're already into. Because that demands a much more efficient, higher-intensity unity from our hubs. Otherwise, we can't see a future or develop ideas that are going to allow us to safely steer the system to that more advanced state of organization. So, how do we fix that? Let's look at it again. Unity is the prime directive. We hit a crossroads in development. System alarms go off, and there's an immediate, subsensory, system-wide directive to unite. But the problem is that this can happen in one of two ways, depending on which of our functions moves towards unity first. If unity is initiated by the cohesive function, or our Jew function, then we expand through free will. There's voluntary agreement that is coming from the concern for all the parts. And we get progress, we get an enhancement of quality, and we get sustainability. If the expansive function, our Gentile function, moves towards unity first, we get empires. We get national unities based on force that pit races, religions, and cultures against each other. We get an expansion, but of quantity only. You get fascism, war, and genocide. So let's look at genocide. The whole point of having hubs in a system is to evolve its nodes into hubs. But no matter how powerful and legitimate the claim against our faltering Jew function, genocide doesn't work. It's impossible to fix the problem of underperforming hubs by destroying them because it makes the system collapse. All you got to do is look at a history book to see what happened in places that tried to do that. The negative effects are almost immediate because hubs can't be replaced en masse or really at all because hubs are how nature evolves nodes to become hubs. And what would we replace them with? Because Gentile and Jew functions are not self-appointed roles. They're products of natural structures. So any group of nodes that would imagine that it could work in some way that is opposed to how nature works and builds systems or sustains them just plain isn't a hub. That's why there are always Jews. And that's what Jews are to us. Nature's pattern of development is embedded into the fabric of the universe, into our surroundings, in our creations, in social structures, and most importantly, within our very selves. We all have both a node and a hub function in us that needs to be balanced for our individual and collective survival, which obviously are the same thing. So there we go. The Jewish problem isn't one of culture or religion or race or nationalism. It is an integral role of nature. And anti-Semitism is this deeply programmed need of the system to survive. And that motivates the suspicion and hatred for Jews. And the only way to fix this problem is to understand ourselves. Really, all that's missing now is the real human quality, the volitional conscious agreement of all the parts of the system to develop according to our roles. Nature's prime directive is unity, and that's what we're here for, and that's how we grow. And we see it everywhere in nature, except right now, where we see the opposite tendency in the human network. So, yes, of course, we need to activate the hubs. We need to wake them up. And if you're a hub, you still have this same job, and apparently you're not even allowed to escape it. So wake up. Take responsibility, because the stakes are so much higher this time. Start building more powerful methods of care and connection that we can use, because if you don't do it, no other part of the system can. So, let's try this again. Jew. Jews. The Jews. Was that any different? Now that we can see nature's thrust, its immutable laws, what is the point of blind pride or blind hatred, thinking that some part of ourselves isn't? Let's just acknowledge the data and start agreeing with the system's living tendency of connection for connection's sake. It's the only factor that makes systems, network structures, and people evolve, thrive, and survive.
Don't forget to check out the footnotes. Goodbye.